Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin. I'm joined by today's co-host, toddler mom, and stylist, Casey Bixby.
Thanks.
Good to have you back. Our guest today is actress, model, singer-songwriter, and brand new mom, Amanda Seyfried. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks.
I just met you a couple of weeks ago, and I told you how I'm face blind, and I don't recognize anybody by face. And I don't know if we talked about this, but because of that, it's really annoying and hard for me to watch TV and movies. At a movie of like 90 minutes to get the whole thing, it takes me like 50 to figure out who's who. And then usually if I run out of popcorn, I'm just sad because the rest of it, I don't get it. And TV series are also really hard. I have to watch them like 3 or 4 times. You know, Amazon has a thing called X-ray on the Kindle. And it overlays what you're watching, and every time somebody pops up, it tells you who it is.
Really?
What?
Yeah. I love
it. That's great for you.
It's perfect for me. It does other things.
It's great for you and annoying to anybody else.
Right. I don't know why they have it, but I was like, that's so nice that they were thinking about
me. You have to figure out why that's a thing. Why right. They developed that.
Because of trivia, I think you pop up like the actor pops up and the character pops up, and you can click on it to find out more about them. But every time a song plays, the song pops up and you can buy it.
Oh, so it's like pop-up video.
Right. Yeah, kind of. But every time an actor comes up, it's, you know, the same – you know, headshot comes up and I get used to it. And I could sort of watch stuff on Amazon Kindle that I can't watch on anything else.
Oh,
who knew?
Great.
But anyway, all this great talent is coming up through the pipeline, and I'm like at a total loss. And so when I met you, you were super grounded and said really interesting things. And I thought, wow, this is great. And then it turns out you have a ginormous career in entertainment. First of all, this is really weird about you that you don't know. You look like somebody to me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
nobody looks like somebody
crazy.
To me.
Crazy.
I know. And I was trying to figure out who
honored.
Do you look like. So I Googled who do you look like. And the two that came up are, do you know who they are? Who people think
Dakota
you look
Dakota
like?
Fanning?
Dakota Fanning.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And Rapunzel from the Twisted movie, from the Tangled movie.
I auditioned for that.
One.
You did?
And the rumor has it was between Mandy Moore and me.
Yeah. So maybe they thought you were going to get it.
Is that one of the people
Weird.
That you thought she was?
No. For some reason, what popped into my mind was, and you may not look at all like these people. I don't even know what they look like young Madonna. Not at all. Okay. Not at all. Or maybe
I'll take it.
Kate Hudson?
I would say that's much closer.
Than young Madonna? You can picture young Madonna?
I guess those are both. Those are both good.
It was like a smush between Kate Hudson and young Madonna. But
if you mix them together, yes, I could see that.
Yeah, if Kate Hudson and young Madonna had a baby and she grew up.
I swear some magazine article a long time ago smushed Madonna with some guy. I don't remember who it was. And they produced a picture of me.
Really?
Yeah.
See, it's not far off.
Silly thing. Yeah.
I can't tell faces, but I can smush people together.
There you go.
That is crazy.
Is there somebody you think you look like?
No.
You're, yeah.
I thought when I was younger I could possibly look like Heather Graham.
Mm-hmm.
I was obsessed with the spy who shagged me.
Mm-hmm.
And the way her hair looked, because it was
so
luxurious. But I don't know. I guess I don't.
I don't know. I don't even know who I look like.
You look like you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That means a lot to me.
I have to think about it.
You have a lot of stuff. Actor, model, singer, songwriter, and now mom. Are you an actor or an actress?
A couple years ago, they decided to get rid of the term actress.
Oh, really? It's
the same as background. The same as like extras. They don't call them extras anymore. They call them background artists. And around the same time, they're like actresses and actors. They're all just actors. I forget why. Maybe just to make it's tied to equality in some way. But you made a point last week about calling yourself an actress, right?
Yeah, because I think people still do call themselves
actresses. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm an actress. I am a girl, and I'm proud of it.
That's what, well, I mean, I guess you could be an actor and be a girl and be proud of it, but it's like if somebody had never met you and said, what do you do? What would you say?
I'm an actor.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, my friend would be like, I'm a chef. She's a girl, but a chef is the same
but
word.
But there's no chefress.
A chefess.
Most chefess. Jobs don't have the female corresponding word.
On Howard Stern, I forget who was saying it, but the other day, they said this, whoever was on was saying the difference between an actor and an actress is that an actress is much better looking.
I can't really argue with that.
Okay.
I want to get into where you came from and your whole history, because I think it's really interesting. You were born in 1985 in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
This is serious fact-checking from Wikipedia, so there's a chance some of it's not accurate.
The source of all sources.
Yeah, it's really.
Everything on there is right. Your mom was an occupational therapist?
Yep.
Which is almost like a chiropractor.
Is it?
Sort of. We both do funky stuff to the body.
She works, I mean, she worked up until 7, 8, 9 weeks ago. She retired. She was working on a psych ward.
Oh.
So she does groups. Music therapy, art therapy, mindfulness
kind of therapy.
Techniques. She's not the Regarding Henry occupational therapist, because in the movie Regarding Henry, Harrison Ford was seeing the occupational therapist. Oh. I'm like, Mommy, do you do that? And she's like, No, not necessarily.
So when you were growing up, she was working in psych wards?
Yeah, the whole time she's worked at the same one.
Until just now.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, she still kind of works in a psych ward, but that's in quotes. She, you know, works in our house.
Oh, that's your psych ward. Oh, well, she has a lot of experience.
She really does. She's very patient because of her job, so that's good.
That's helpful.
Yes.
I feel like I wish I could be more patient with my family.
Yeah, me too. Don't we all?
Yes.
Yeah. We should all work in a psych ward.
I know. I mean, it just...
That is good training, I would imagine.
It's like when you're in medical school and you do all these residencies and different kind of, you know, you have to do OBGYN, you should have, as a parent, before you become a parent, I think you should have to do some psych ward training.
Do you remember her seeming really patient when you were younger and growing up?
Yeah. It seemed like nothing affected her. Mm-hmm. Now I know that was just a survival method. That she used,
but I mean, I don't want to be affected, but sometimes you just can't control it.
But I think it's nice that you're affected because you're connected to what's happening.
Oh, so whether you wish you was more reactive.
I think I could have had a little bit more of a reactive kind of a give and take with my mom. I think I saw her as a very strong rock. And that's great, but also kind of almost you couldn't really puncture her.
Like access?
Yeah, there was a lot that you couldn't access.
Oh, so to be neutral, or to stay.
She went a little too far.
She went too far and just didn't have any.
Yeah, she repressed.
Numb.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which and then also I guess to work in that job you have to. Right? To, like, survive.
Yeah.
I guess so. Like, I was a parent. I worked in ambulances and growing
really?
Up. And, yeah. And you just, like, sometimes people are on the edge, you know, and you can't freak out. You have to stay calm.
Right.
And when I was 19, 20, 21, it's easy because you're so far away from death.
Mm.
But it does make you kind of a little bit less reactive to things going on around you.
Yeah, when you get used to something.
Yeah. And just, I don't know. I do think I bring that into parenting, like when my kids are hit something and they're gushing blood, I don't freak out about it.
Well, it's probably good.
Yeah, that's better. That's better for the kid.
But when they're emotionally freaking out, then I get involved. Yeah. Where's Seyfried from?
I think it's German. I think he used to be Siegfried.
Oh, really?
I think.
Seyfried.
You should Wikipedia that.
Do you know any other Seyfrieds? Besides your family?
Because of social media, there are I have found people that are not related to me. I mean, as much as I know, you know, with the same last name in England and random places in America. It's really weird.
I found an Elliot Berlin who made a Holocaust movie called Paperclips.
Whoa.
Yeah. And the way I found him is a year and a half after I moved here, my mother called me and said, did you make a documentary about the Holocaust? And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm a chiropractor. And she's like, oh, okay, because I went and we did the screening for all my friends that I set up. Mm-hmm. And then the screen went black and it said directed by Elliot Berlin.
Oh, she was just randomly screening that movie.
She saw this Holocaust movie, so she set up a screening and they were sitting with her friends and it said Elliot Berlin. And they said, Becky, you should have told us. And she's like, I didn't know.
That's nuts.
And she called me and she's like, yeah, I'm like, I think, I, you know, she's like, you don't tell me everything. And I'm like, I don't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday because I don't remember. But I would have told you if I filmed this movie and premiered it all over town.
Did it end up being a good movie?
I thought it was really powerful. It's this teacher who did a project. She was teaching about the Holocaust and how 6 million Jews died, and they couldn't really – the kids had a hard time understanding the number of the impact of 6 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had them collect 6 million paper clips from all sorts. They wrote to different companies getting paper clip donations, and then they sort of looked at that giant amount of paper clips and thought about that number of people. It was a powerful movie. I recommend it.
Documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paperclips. Oh. I started getting emails for him all the time. Like,
have you ever met him?
Yeah, where is he?
I almost met him. Unfortunately, he died young. He got cancer and died. But I called him one time because somebody offered me a job directing a movie. And I was like, I think you have the wrong guy. But I would love to take that offer.
Oh, anyway, my God.
So there's other Seyfrieds. Do people pronounce it wrong?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really bad?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of ways to go with it.
Yeah, there are. My sister pronounces it wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have
Does she say the same about you?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. She's like, it's Seyfried. And I'm like, it's Seyfried. Everybody says it like that. And then I was thinking, well,
I
now
totally
I
got
can,
it wrong.
It's fine. Like, it's fine. I don't mind when I go on talk shows. I have to write it out phonetically. But I was thinking of taking my husband's last name. I mean, I will down the line at some point before I, you know, have to travel because of the global entry thing. But people pronounce his name wrong, too. And it's actually spelled phonetically.
How's it pronounced?
Sadowski, the way it's spelled. There's no W.
Oh, and people say Doski?
They say Sadowski.
Odowski.
Or they make up something completely different. And it's just as bad as my name. And you'd think that if something's spelled phonetically, it would be easier to pronounce. But
I got really lucky because I was going to say Seyfried.
But you're, Berlin. I'm Bixby, so I know what you mean.
Oh, do you get a hard time?
Isn't it spelled out like,
how
is it spelled?
It's just spelled so weird. That's why.
What would they?
They don't. They say, how do you say that?
No way.
Yes. There's Y's, there's X's. It's very confusing.
I found a YouTube video where you said it yourself, and I'm like, I got it. And then I spelled it out phonetically. But I could see how Dosky, Doski, and Dowski can get confused.
Yeah, but there's no W. Like, there's no W, people.
But it hits you when you look at it. It's a name. It's not a word.
Yeah. Man.
All right. So then you start modeling at age 11, which is already fascinating. I have an 11-year-old daughter. I'm trying to think, like, if I would ask her to go get a job, no chance. What happened to you at 11 years old?
Oh, modeling is not a job. When you're 11, it's this glamorous.
Were you seeking it out or did it seek? You wanted a model at 11.
Because I wanted to be a supermodel. Because it was glamorous and paid you lots of money. From my 11-year-old, you know, viewpoint, it just seemed like the coolest thing ever. But it was really fun, but.
But you're shy. You were shy.
Not
you were not
that
shy.
Actually, yes, I was shy. I was
so
shy.
So that's
at that
what
point.
Doesn't like add up for me. How do you want to be like a supermodel where everybody's looking at? Because of face blindness, I was totally shy, but big, like, so you can't hide. And how do you then say I want to be a model, but I'm shy? You don't know. They just work for you.
Yeah, it's weird. I went in and out of that. Like, sometimes I was an introvert, and then a lot of times I was the absolute opposite. And I just, I mean, the older I got, I kind of went inward a little bit, but I'm also an actor, and I was also auditioning all the time in New York when I was shy. So it's a completely different part of me.
But does part of you become an actor to be somebody else?
Yeah.
So then it's not you. So
yeah, there are no consequences when I'm acting. Right. I can cry and not have any. I have a weird shame with crying that I'm trying to work out. And
what makes you cry?
Being yelled at or feeling like I've done something wrong.
Oh, really?
Or hurting someone's feelings makes me cry. And it just feels so wrong to do in front of people.
To cry?
Yeah.
Does that, you think, go back to your mom who had no emotions?
Maybe.
Maybe you feel like you're not supposed to emote.
Yeah, like it's dangerous.
I wonder what it would have been if you grew up with emojis.
Oh, my God. If
she
I had grown up
texted
now,
you.
It just would have been,
exactly.
Everyone would have been meh.
Are you this one or this one today, Mommy? Please.
Please be an emoji. And every time it would just be meh.
Yeah, straight line for mouth.
You grew up in a meh house. So,
yeah.
How did you get a modeling job at 11?
I don't know. I went to New York and I signed with Wilhelmina Models.
At 11?
At 11. Or maybe I was 12 at that point. But I did get a local job for this place called Lenco when I was 11. Maybe I was even 10. With the local modeling agency in Allentown. And it was really exciting because I got to miss half of science class.
Oh, you see, my daughter might do a modeling job
for
that.
It's great. And yeah. Especially when you come to school and you think about, you know, doing something and finding success at that early age, because success in quotes, because you're doing what you sought out to
what
do.
What you wanted to do.
But I was modeling pajamas. It doesn't matter, though, I guess. It was still a big deal to me.
Sure. It's a gig.
Yeah.
You're doing it.
Yeah, I'm sure it paid.
Wikipedia says you had an obsession with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, I watched Gilbert. I was obsessed with Gilbert Grape and Romeo and Juliet. And Titanic was around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And
how many times do you think you went to see
it? I went to see it 6 times.
Yep.
I remember, and I saved all the tickets. I was obsessed with that movie.
Yep.
I was obsessed with it. Ended up just that I was always obsessed with all of his movies. Up until a certain point, like This Boy's Life, Basketball Diaries.
I actually watched Titanic and followed it through. There's very few movies like that in TV shows that I can watch all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was, I think, the music really.
Ugh,
Celine,
Horner.
Please.
Oh, I can't picture what she looks like, but I can hear
her. No, Celine Dion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I can't picture what she looks like, but in my head, that music is so strong.
Do you remember when Titanic, when you bought the DVDs? It was 2 DVDs?
Yes.
Instead of
you just switch them?
Yeah.
Oh, for the, because it was too long?
Yeah.
For a DVD, back when they had DVDs?
Yep.
And I remember calling the local radio station to request them to play My Heart Will Go
On. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Times.
Where are you from?
Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. We have B104. It was local. I mean, small enough town, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny. Casey Kasem did his show on all the radio stations all mm-hmm. across the country on Sunday nights, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. And, yeah, that would play. God.
Your early acting gigs were started at age 15.
Yeah.
My
soap
operas.
Real job. My first paying acting job was 15.
Wait, so then when you went to New York, you went at 11, did you guys move there?
No.
How's that work?
It was a bus ride away. It was like 2 hours.
Oh, from my hometown.
Really close.
Did somebody come with you?
My mom.
Meh.
Yeah. She was just like, yeah, you want to do that? Okay. But if it's, you know, if I can't come with you, you're going to have to either not go or you're going to have to go with your dad.
Is that bad?
Well, it was just, my mom's like super savvy and city smart. And my dad's like, duh.
Oh. that's a totally different emoji.
Yeah, but he did actually come with me the second day of that first job.
We are going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind.
using safe and effective ingredients. This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and use your code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order.
The day that they decided I was so bad that they couldn't have me back.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You got fired from your first job?
Yeah. And I found out.
That's for
on set.
Wow, how does that? Because you're 15. You're 15.
Yeah, and I was devastated. I knew it was hard. Like the first day, I was, you know, I just remember wearing a lot of pink and feeling really scared, and the lights were too bright.
Did you have training in acting?
No, not really. I did some classes at the local modeling agency.
They just went into audition, did a read, and so you're just born with the acting in you.
There is, I do believe there's instinct, but in order to build on that instinct or be able to recognize that instinct and utilize it, you have to have confidence, not, mm-hmm. you know, some level of confidence in order to perform.
So there's instinct and confidence, but then there's training after
There's also training. There's also knowledge, education.
Yeah. Wow.
Which I don't have a lot of. I didn't have a lot of at that point. Now I do because I consider on-the-job training just as important as schooling.
As formal training.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about science class.
Really?
Which is why I never went to do modeling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get it.
But I'm great at Trivial Pursuit when those science questions come up.
Because you weren't late to class.
Yeah, I stuck around school. I'd probably kick your...
Oh, in so many ways.
Just on that green wedge on the Trivial Pursuit.
That's your section?
That's me. That's my wedge. Oh, is it you call it a section?
Isn't it a section of cards?
It's a wedge. No, it's the little... Yeah, but the little wedge that goes in the pie.
Oh, got you.
I don't know this.
Trivial Pursuit?
I haven't played Trivial Pursuit for some time.
I haven't played Trivial Pursuit since my junior Trivial Pursuit box.
Since movies came out on DVD.
Yeah, basically. Since our two disc Titanic.
What happened? So if you're that rejected and devastated, I mean, how do you get back up and do it again?
Your mom comes up to your room and says, "You know, sweetie, when one door closes, another door opens, and you just have to trust."
And that spoke to you.
Mm-hmm.
You did it.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool.
That's all she had to say. It was amazing. I also had boys to distract me and tennis and, you know, bad grades.
Right.
Oh.
So it's not like it was my whole life.
I can see how when you get rejected at work, it's bad grades help you feel better.
Yeah. Or at least trying to get them
on.
Up. Yeah. I had a lot going on. I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
I was a freshman.
Oh, that's crazy still to me. And so at 15, you went back in and you got another job.
I did, a year later.
Soaps.
Yeah, another soap.
How was that?
It was great. They didn't fire me until I stuck around for 10 months. So that's a difference.
What character are you playing at 15? Are you playing a teenager?
I was playing a teenager who was really religious, and her parents were really freaked out because she started dating this African-American kid who is now, who is Michael B. Jordan, the actor.
Oh.
Do you know that guy?
That's
we started out together. It's amazing. He was younger than me.
He probably still is.
I think he might still be younger than me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's Hollywood.
Nothing stays the same. One door closes, another door
exactly.
opens.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Okay. Did you like acting or modeling better?
Oh, acting.
You liked acting better?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, modeling was boring. It was so boring.
Really?
Photo shoots are so boring.
But that was the original dream, supermodel.
Yeah, and then I learned quick.
Super actor.
Yeah. Mm. I actually was shooting a campaign last year with a bunch of supermodels. And, like, really well-known ones. I was kind of starstruck. And one of them was a Victoria's Secret model, and she was telling me about what her life is like. And,
right.
And when they shoot on the beach, it's 38,
like five
45 degrees.
Degrees,
or with the wind, it's just so bad. And we were shooting up north of London, outside, and I was the only one that they took out because it got so cold and we were all wearing dresses. I was the only one that they pulled because I was the actor involved with all these models. And I felt really terrible that they were treating me better than the rest. But
You're getting warmth.
Yeah, I was getting warmth. I was freezing and they were all freezing and I felt really bad, but I was like, I can't do it anymore. It's so painful. It is painful. Modeling is standing still in the freezing cold is painful.
That
and
sounds
that's
terrible.
What it's all about.
But they look good somehow. That's even they're really acting.
They are.
They can cross
my
over.
Mom could so easily have been a supermodel.
Just hold the face. Hold the face.
Hold the face. Yep. Keep the emotions in. Sorry.
Before we get to one of your biggest breaks ever, I had another question. If you're in soap operas playing a teenager and you are a teenager, how does that affect your social life?
I didn't talk about it because I never wanted anybody to think I was bragging or that I thought
bragging?
I was better
but
than them.
They didn't know?
They knew, but I didn't talk about it. Like, I really never talked about it.
Just
I was
like
embarrassed.
Elephant in the room? That's Amanda. She's on what?
Yeah,
what
but nobody watched it because it was
trends?
During school.
Well, you probably just want to be normal, right?
Yeah. And also, it was just I would go in once or twice a week. It wasn't that big of a deal. And it was also, it started halfway through my senior year.
Were they filming in New York?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's before, all the Housewives.
Yeah.
Because now that's the new soap operas.
That is, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they only have General Hospital.
That's the last of the Mohicans? Oh, no kidding. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, me too.
You're not a Days of Our Lives person? That's what
not
I
me,
miss.
No.
Loved it.
Really?
No.
That was on before General Hospital. But how did you love it so much if you were in school? General Hospital was at 3.
Yeah, I don't know how we were
VCR?
Watching it.
Did you tape
it? You'd probably tape it on VCR.
Probably, yeah.
Or in Days
I don't
Off.
Know how, or maybe did it rerun later in the day?
I don't know
how I was watching that.
And on Sunday, it was only Golf for Jesus.
Well,
worst TV ever.
I don't know.
What's it called?
Must have taped
Golf.
It.
Golf or Jesus?
Those are the only things on Sunday when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like you can watch some people in church or watch people play golf. Neither one very appealing.
I know.
To me.
Or you could have watched all your Days of Our Lives tapes.
That's what I would do.
That's the old school binge, 5 hours.
So good.
Giant career break when you got a job as a waitress in a retirement community.
Yeah.
As a teenager?
Yeah, I thought I was going to marry the sous chef and live and stay and be a hostess.
At that community?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
What brought you to the retirement center?
It was the job that everybody was getting. It was the job that my sister had.
Right.
Oh, is she older?
Yeah, 3 years.
Oh.
So I was like, I'm going to go do that, and I'm going to get minimum wage, and it's better than nothing.
Did she have, because if your little sister's like acting and modeling, did she think about doing that too?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, she was the opposite of me. She was.
What's the opposite of that?
Well, I mean, let's put it in like mental health. If she's depression, I'm anxiety. So it's like I run high and she runs really low. And she's an artist, she'll stay.
If you're
in
an upper, she's a downer.
Exactly.
But not in a bad way.
If you're a drug, I'm speed, and she's indica. Is it indica the slow? The long?
I get so confused.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know.
Sativa, indica.
One of them's an upper, one of them's a downer.
The only drug I've ever had is xylitol, the sugar alcohol.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm
amazing.
Missing out.
You are. A little bit.
Yeah. Ever since after pregnancy, I alcohol affects me differently, even alcohol.
We can't talk about that until part two.
Oh, sorry.
You're so out of line.
No baby yet.
This is the other
Wait, xylitol is something you drink?
It's like a...
I mean, I don't mean you're missing out. All I've done is smoke weed.
Sure.
So,
No, I believe you.
really putting out a different image here.
Missing out.
Weed is I mean, in California...
Don't do drugs. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you can smoke on pot if...
That's what
if
I'm saying.
If you have a card.
It's small enough amount, and you have a card.
I want to do, because a friend of mine shot this video where they took random people and had them do a passionate kiss. Did you see that on YouTube?
Weird.
He took a social experiment.
They I don't know how they cast it, but they just took these random people and they cast them and they put them in front of a camera and they said, you know, have a passionate kiss with a total stranger.
Were they actors? Just random people?
I'm not sure. They might have been like aspiring actors and they might have just been random people. Mm. They posted it. It's kind of amazing to watch. They posted it and went to dinner and they came back and they had like 5,000 hits on YouTube. And by the next morning, it was in the millions.
Wow.
It's just, I'll find the link and I'll put it on informedpregnancy.com. But it's kind of amazing to watch. And I sort of want to take people in their 40s who have never smoked weed and just have them smoke weed and see what happens.
Such a good idea.
That would be awesome.
We should do that.
That is such a good idea. It's a really great experiment.
Based on that reaction, we'll get started on that tomorrow.
That would be great.
I might be. My wife also. No drugs for her either. Nothing. We're like, I want to actually smoke pot.
It should actually just be you and
just me and Alyssa.
Alyssa.
I want to smoke pot for one reason and one reason only, because when my kids do it, I want to know what's roughly going on in there.
Yeah, and I also think you maybe built it up where it's this big deal and it's not going to be that
for
big
me,
of a deal.
For me, I have no interest, no desire. All my classmates were smoking up around me. I had no, just, I like being in control.
Yep.
Again, I worked in ambulances when I was young. I like seeing things for what they are. But, you know,
it's,
I think my kids probably will get into it, and I just want to have some awareness of what they're doing.
Well, if you do try it, just try one hit at a time.
Yeah, and it's not like you're not going to go on like a psychedelic scene things stuff.
Unless you buy the wrong stuff.
Yeah, maybe I'll get lucky and buy the wrong stuff. I would just rather have
a
cookie.
Don't eat, like, no.
No
cookies. No.
Not
God,
good?
No.
All right, moving back to Amanda.
That is the worst.
No.
You like
that.
Control? Forget it.
Yeah, don't
you
do
lost
that.
It.
From really from edibles?
Yeah,
yes.
No.
There's no way of knowing how much you're getting.
Oh.
Not once you boil that down.
I've learned a lot here tonight on the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast.
Yeah, we're actually just giving you drug education.
Was Mean Girls your first movie?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was amazing. I also didn't have any expectations, so I was just going to work every day. You know,
where did she?
Getting to know things. Toronto.
Oh, A.
And I was A, yeah. It's funny. I've done a lot of movies in Toronto.
Toronto. And weed will be legal in the entire country.
Where?
They are legalizing marijuana in all of Canada.
Huh.
Recreational.
Of course they are.
Sure they are.
I expect them to
quite
do
progressive.
These things.
So sad that we're jealous of Canada in so many ways now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is really nice to be there.
Mm.
It's a wonderful
pleasant.
Country. In the two cities that I've spent a lot of time
Toronto, Vancouver?
Wonderful.
Really?
Yeah.
And check it out. So, Mean Girls, you graduate? Are you just out of high school?
I was 17.
Oh,
I just graduated.
You graduated?
No,
early?
I graduated. No, I just went to school when I was four.
Oh.
So for whatever.
You started early.
Yeah, I started early. It was a weird cutoff for the birthdays, so I was always the youngest one.
When's
in
your
class.
Birthday?
December 3rd.
What does that make your sign? Your,
Sagittarius.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know anything about that.
Did you like being the youngest?
I hated it.
Yeah.
I still have.
The cutoff is in December?
It doesn't make any sense. It's like, it's still, I was always the youngest, and I was always getting in trouble in first and second grade for talking, and I just feel like I wasn't ready.
Right.
Socially.
And then you get yelled at and cry.
Mm-hmm.
But feel bad about it.
And feel really bad about it.
Yeah. I sort of have like a broken heart emoji. Sad.
Heart emoji.
A sad emoji.
Mm-hmm. The emoji that goes like this.
That one. I wish it was an audio.
So sweet.
I
wish there was a scent.
So Mean Girls was good. You said awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome experience just shooting.
So great. It was just, everybody was so nice. And everybody was so happy to be there. And there was so much free food. And I had never been around
oh,
that before.
Oh, what a great first job.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, they had me in a girdle.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I was 17. And there was free food around.
Oh, so you had to look at the end as you looked at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take to film that?
2 months.
Oh, wow. That's a long time. Did somebody come with you from your family?
My mom. She
stayed
had
with you?
She had to.
What about the
I
people
wasn't
at the psych ward?
Emancipated. She's taken a lot of breaks. Her job's amazing. She took a sabbatical when I was 19 once to live out here with me and for a month and a half. And she took a sabbatical for 2 months to be with me in Toronto.
She makes me want to be a better dad.
Oh, I'm sure you're a great dad.
I have a lot of emotions.
That's okay.
But I don't
know. It's wonderful to have a lot of emotions. I think the more vulnerable you are, the better chance you have to communicate and change if need be and respond to people.
We do table topics at dinner.
That's great.
I love that.
They have these little cards and they make the kids, all of us really think about our emotions and kind of express them.
Especially in a safe place. You have to do it in a safe way. Like you're not going to want to, your kids aren't going to want to talk to you about their emotions if you're angry with them.
Right. But at dinner, my son was like, yeah, I don't really think you're as cool as you used to be, but I still sort of think you're cool.
Shut up.
Yeah.
What does that mean, though, cool to him?
We're close. I love my kids so much, but we're close. But it's sort of like, you know, we homeschool for 2 years. And during that time, a lot of his friends really, like, cut the umbilical cord with their parents. Mm. And just got too cool for being with their parents. But he was home with us and didn't get exposed to that. So he still, now a few years later, he's kind of, he likes being home and he likes being around us. And that's neat. But I work an insane amount. And what he was trying to tell me is, like, I want to be around you, but you're not home. So I come home more. And then I shut down. We had 7 offices. I shut down 6 of them. And I stopped doing as many births. And
oh, my God.
I was still not home that much, but a lot more than I was. So that's
great.
I think the table
topics.
I didn't
know you did that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's why everybody thinks, like, I'm good at what I do, but it's not, because it's hard to get an appointment sometimes, but I'm just, like, working less.
Good for you.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's the way it should be.
That's great. I hope you get cooler.
Yeah,
in his eyes.
Yeah. I'll work on it.
What does cool mean, just being around?
Just, like, really, I think he wants to be around me. That's what he means
that
by cool.
That is incredible.
And he's like, I used to really want to be around you all the time. Now I still want to be around you, but I can see a time where I would just want to hang out with my friends more. And
well, that's healthy.
Yeah, it's also good.
Yeah.
It's not bad. He wasn't saying anything bad. He's
right.
Just like, you're kind of running out of time where I'm here and want to be here a lot.
Right.
So maybe come hang out with me.
Oh, my God.
So I do. And I love the table topics for that. I wish we started doing them much earlier.
Will they be? What kind of stuff?
Like, what do you want to be known for is a question we had the other day. So you start to think, you know, what are other people known for? We talk about our family, friends, and what do you know? You know, one of the questions was, would you rather be seen as funny, friendly, or helpful?
Mm.
And we start thinking about people who we know and, like, who's your immediate pops into your head when I say friendly? You know, and somebody pops into your head.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be more like that? Or who pops into your head when we say helpful?
Mm-hmm.
So they start to think about who they are. They're going to camp for the first time, sleepaway camp. And
wow.
So it's
is
like,
that a week or like 8 weeks?
It's 4 weeks. They can do 4 or 8. They're going to do 4 weeks.
They're all going to go?
The older two. And so this was a great conversation. I'm like, it's in New York and where it's you can meet people and have any impression you want to for the first time on these people, no matter what your other people think of you. How do you want when somebody meets you for the first time? What do you want their first impression to be?
Hmm. Very mindful.
That's such a good question.
They're good. Maybe I'll sponsor our podcast, Table Topics.
With all your kids.
Mm.
How old are they? The older
ones? They're 7, 9, 11, and 13 right now.
Okay.
They're all their birthdays are right now.
Camp, that's exciting.
German. We're
That's
German.
A lot.
Is there a religious growing up religion in your home? Nothing?
I mean, we'd go to church every Sunday, but
let's might as well stay home and watch TV.
I mean, there was like confirmation class, but
nothing. They didn't, but what about their parents, your grandparents?
Same.
Nothing.
Just we went to UCC, United Church of Christ, every Sunday. My grandma still goes.
Did you ever get to a place where you wanted to explore more?
When I was 18 and I came out here, I would go to Gower in Hollywood to a Presbyterian church with my first boyfriend because he was super, like, religious. His family was. And I would go to church with them in Wisconsin. And I really liked the singing, and that's why I went.
Oh, your musical. We didn't even get into
that.
Yeah,
it's okay.
What about that? When did that start? You write or wrote?
No.
You sing?
I have written, but I don't prefer it. I prefer just singing.
Do you play an instrument?
I play the piano and the guitar.
Wow.
And I'm like okay at the guitar. I'm pretty good at, I can read music and piano and guitar, but I haven't really done much of that for the last year. But I started the music before the acting.
Oh, so like when you're 12, 13?
7.
Oh, young, really young.
So your parents started you in lessons when you were little?
Yeah.
On piano?
Piano first.
Yeah, 7 to 11. And then I started singing like full time.
Do you still
11.
Play at home?
Yeah. I have
both?
Pianos in all of my houses. I mean,
really?
That sounds really, really silly. I have pianos in my residences.
Yeah.
Can't live without it. But then when you get a piano, you don't want to play it.
Because
it's there. It's,
right.
I mean, it's you don't want to play it because you don't want to ruin it? Or it's just...
No, you just like, you really want a piano and then you get one and then you don't play it. It's really weird.
Oh, I play piano, but only one song.
Which one?
Pachelbel's Canon. It's
oh,
a
yeah,
really weird song to be the only one. Usually it's like Mary Had a Little Lamb.
No, it's...
Or Chopsticks.
No, it's a... It's,
yeah.
It's like a wedding song,
it's pretty
song, right?
Easy, but it sounds beautiful and right. you can improv while
that,
you're doing
I like
it.
To... Because I play by ear. I play...
Same.
Oh,
that's how I started.
By playing by ear?
I mean, I learned formally how to read music, but... Really, I heard songs and I would do my
just
version.
Sit down and yeah, do your version. So I can play. That's why I like Pachelbel's Canon. It sort of sounds like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't that's really like, know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But then people sometimes when I play, they'll come with requests, and I'll be like, I gotta
I
gotta go.
Like
I gotta go hang out with my kid.
Look at the time.
Really wants
play
to spend
a version
time with
of
me.
It.
Maybe in a couple of years when I'm not cool.
Yeah.
I want to hear, did you ever record music? You have an album?
Yeah. No. I recorded it for, like, musicals. But I did
Oh, you
once,
so you were in a musical?
A couple of them.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we can...
And about, yeah. yeah. I did that, but I also recorded a song for a soundtrack and that I wrote. And they, like, added strings to it. And I was like, whoa,
wow.
These people composed.
That's cool.
They, like, I wrote it with the music on guitar. So
right.
I just had a few chords and they made it into this huge song. And then I had to record it.
We are going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
And then I recorded another thing to go with a movie that I had done, another song that I hadn't written. That was fun. It's really fun. Oh, and then I did recorded another song that was in a movie that wasn't a musical. And that was fun, too.
Would you ever record an album?
No.
Why?
I'm not. No.
It's not. You're not that kind of musician.
I would and give it to my friends and family.
Right.
Like, my mom
Merry
loves
Christmas.
When I sing. My husband loves when I sing.
Are you saying you don't feel like you're on that level?
No, I just, that's not the kind
artist?
Of lifestyle.
It's not what
I
you
want
to do.
No,
ask
me
go
to
on
get
on tour.
In, yeah, no. That's the worst.
Going on tour?
Being mm-hmm. on stage every night.
You, can we talk about shyness and not stage acting?
Uh huh.
Because you said as you grew older, you grew more shy.
Yeah.
And. Had you thought about doing stage acting?
Yeah, I did, and then I would just not do it. I would audition for stage and then just not do it, either not get it, or I would get offered something and I'd find something wrong with it, and I just wouldn't do it because I wanted so badly to experience that because I know it can be life-altering, but I didn't have the energy to go through something like that until I did, and I did end up doing a play. That's where I met my husband.
Oh, was he in the play as well?
It was just the two of us.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And
what
when
was it
did,
about?
When did you end up doing it?
In 2015.
Oh,
finally,
it was
a perfect
really
play.
Recently.
Where did you do it?
In New York, off Broadway.
Funny or serious?
Both.
Oh, dramedy.
Yeah, really good twist. It was a Neil Butte play.
Oh.
But it was, I just didn't, up until that point, didn't have the energy to fight my fears. because it's just too much. The fear is just too much.
But now that you've done both, do you like one better? Screen or stage?
I mean, if you're asking me from the fearful part of me, I'd say film. So much better. So safe.
Because right. Take two.
Yeah, and you go to your trailer, and you like crochet and listen to a book on tape, and you go out again. And
you crochet?
I do.
Is that why you...
But I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, I know.
It's ruining my life.
I'm sorry.
But if I'm talking from like a very empowered, the empowered part of me, the mother in me, I'd say stage is beyond anything you could imagine.
When you ended up doing it, was it when you were going through previews or when after it opened? Like when did you get to a point where you felt like, all right, I'm good now?
Oh yeah. Oh my God.
When did that happen or when did that shift?
It happened halfway through previews, like the second week, and I was like, oh my God, I know my lines so well.
Yeah.
We're so connected. I'm so happy. I'm so in love with this feeling.
Right.
And I just felt so safe.
Yeah.
And then it kind of fell apart again. I started having like panic attacks every
during the run.
6 or 7 shows. And I was like, oh, that's...
What does a panic attack feel like?
Oh, it feels like you're going to die. Feels like you need to leave the stage. Feels like you need to...
You would have them during the play.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle?
And I would act through them, and I would just connect with Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always be aware of it. He would recognize that, like, 1,000-yard stare.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would bring me back, and mm-hmm. we'd get back, and the lines would keep flowing, but my whole body would be cold,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be sweating at the same time. And it would only last, like, 60 seconds, and then it would get through.
It would pass, really?
Oh, yeah. I would pass on stage in front of everybody while I'm saying my lines.
Do they know?
Nobody else.
Or they're oblivious? Just
There's
you
no
and
way they
Tommy.
Would know. Just Tommy. And my mom.
Oh.
If she was watching,
would she react?
Know.
No.
I mean,
man.
Hey, just you'll a be all right.
Can
you
imagine?
It'll pass.
You got it, girl.
Another door will open.
Yeah.
God. Okay. Then you did a million movies and broke through and got all these awards.
Didn't get any awards.
Well, you got all these on all these lists. Breakthrough performance female.
I don't know.
You should go pick up your award.
Favorite cast. 50 most glamorous women of 2010. That wasn't even that long ago. But here's my favorite one. Out of all the ones you got, this is the one I relate to the most. You got Glamour Magazine's April 2010. They issued you as the most down to earth.
Oh, that's nice.
I agree with that. You're very down to earth.
What year is that?
2010, when you were still down to earth. But actually, that's a question I have. Like, how do you, because you went from just being like a girl in Allentown in high school to being recognized by people everywhere. What does that feel like? And how is it like when you're in public and people just recognize you?
You adapt. It happens slowly. My career is, I didn't become recognizable overnight. It was a very slow process, and it's gone through its ups and downs, and I'm just kind of feel like I'm coasting now. I've experienced different levels of recognition and different levels of privacy and lack of privacy, and I think I just was lucky and I was able to adjust as it happened.
Because you're down to earth.
Maybe. I also have
But it's hard to
values.
I imagine it's hard to stay grounded when you kind of had a dream and you went for it.
And yeah.
And you're living it.
But also, my expectations were always very low. I think it was survival mechanism inside. It's just something that a voice that told me, like, you just got lucky. You just plan for the worst. And maybe you'll get, maybe, you know, things will be great. But they
it's
probably
like
won't
you,
be.
When you buy a lottery ticket, I probably won't win.
Yeah, exactly. I probably won't get this role.
But if I did win, it would change me a lot, yeah. I think.
Do you think you still think about it that way?
Yeah. I mean, I don't let things devastate me anymore. Like, I found out last week that I'm going to be most likely going to be too old to play Glinda in the Wicked movie musical.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been
studying
for that for years. Yeah. I've been
too
working on
old.
Them. Yeah, because they probably won't make it for a while. And someone said that like offhand from the studio. And, you know, okay, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to be in it. And I'm okay with it. And that's why I think I don't know if I'm okay with it.
I'm having a hard time with it.
You can say something to somebody. You can pull some strings.
I just don't recognize anybody, so it's sort of hard to.
I know.
Are you the guy?
I'll point them out.
You know, I have the opposite problem. I mean, we must have also, there's got to be a similarity to it. Like, if I go out in public, which I don't like to do, and I'm at the Grove, and somebody will wave to me, like, hi, how you doing? And then so I wave back because I don't want them to feel bad. Like, I don't know who they are. But then they look at me funny, and I realize they're waving to the person behind me. That happens, like, every time I go out in public.
You know what I was wondering? Because I was thinking, like, you knew both of us were coming. Amanda has blonde hair and I have brown hair. So, like, when I was walking up, were you thinking, oh, I know that's Casey because she has
brown
hair?
I know there's two people coming, two different hair, because it doesn't affect hair. Yeah. But otherwise, like, if you took away the hair, it would be really hard for me.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Face. That's how all the face blind tests work.
Does it happen every time you looked away?
If I close my eyes, I cannot picture what you look like at all. Now I just sort of see you know what
so
I see
wild.
Actually is now that it's in my head is the Tangled princess because she's not human. So
yeah, it's blurry. It's like there's less features. There's
it
less
doesn't affect
detail.
Like I can picture
you can see
characters
cartoons.
Like cartoon characters. So when I close my eyes from now on, you're going to be Rapunzel.
That's okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm not sure who you are yet. Mm-hmm. I'll find the character for you.
Thanks.
All right. What was your favorite acting job?
The play.
Really?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it obviously changed your entire life.
It changed my entire life. I didn't even know it was happening when it was happening. But it was incredible. It just made me feel like I could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Someone with anxiety, being able to overcome that kind of, that level of fear and succeeding.
It's a really big
deal. It does a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the way you would feel if you went skydiving and lived.
Yeah, that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, for some people, for him, it's like nothing. It's no big deal. Getting on stage, that's where he was born.
Right.
But for me, it's like, I can't possibly survive this.
Right.
I will fall apart and my reputation will get ruined because people won't be able to trust that I'm, like, sane enough to carry out a project.
Why did you decide to do it finally? Was it just that you felt like you had to overcome it?
Yeah. I felt like I had to do it and the right project came and I was like, I don't think I can turn this down.
Mm-hmm.
This opportunity anyway. Mm-hmm.
You finally got to act with, maybe he produced it, Red Riding Hood. Was produced
oh, Leo?
By,
he yeah. produced it. Yeah, he wasn't there.
Oh, he wasn't there?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It was a CGI wolf.
No question there, then. But I do have one other question for you. You, like, taxidermy.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of taxidermy.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, I would say I have a fair amount of taxidermy.
How does that work? First of all, how'd you get into it?
I love animals. And
that sounds backwards.
It's yeah, I love it. I know. And the truth is you can't possibly know
you know, just popped into
why
my head.
They were killed.
I don't wanna cut you off at all, but have you seen Ellen DeGeneres talk about taxidermy?
No.
I gotta get that clip for you.
Why?
Because I don't have it in my head right now, but she said basically, like, that's what people who like taxidermy say, I love animals.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I love grandma.
I know, exactly. It's so true.
But I don't really want to hang her on my bedroom wall.
Really good point. I know, I would never taxidermy my own animal.
Right.
I did think about having my goat stuffed because she died and her body was still intact and she was so wonderful and young and...
Where did you have a goat? In Pennsylvania?
I have a farm upstate in New York.
Oh.
But it was really, I think it's an amazing art as well. I'm probably finished collecting.
You're maxed out.
Yeah, I think it's really expensive.
Oh, really?
If you get it from Paris, which is where.
You get it from Paris?
Yeah.
How do you even find your next thing?
Every time I go to Paris twice a year.
And
so
you
go
buy...
to Dayroll and I look at what they have.
And how do you get it back? In your suitcase?
Shipped.
Oh, they ship it because it's that.
It's really expensive to ship them. It's as much
is
as
it in your. It's in your house.
They're all over my house.
Are they here and in New York? Or are they all here?
They're here. They're in LA.
Awesome. I want to see them.
They're awesome. I have pictures of them, and they're just some of them are like I have a baby zebra and a baby horse. But the truth is. Responsible taxidermy, and there's when you don't know why they're if they're being killed for the sake of taxidermy, fuck that. I mean, I'm not going to support that.
That's French right there.
Oh crap.
No, no, it's okay. I speak French. I'm fluent.
Okay, good.
We can say swear words, can't
yeah.
we?
Yeah, totally.
I hope so. I have been for months.
Bleep that.
Yeah.
As not long realizing as, I'm maybe close.
You know, iTunes has a little section. You just click it if there's any of those words in
oh,
there,
that's
so that
cool.
they don't play it for kids.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as we don't forget that, iTunes likes us.
Great.
Wow. What was your first one?
A miniature horse. Baby miniature horse.
You were just in Paris and you saw it.
I was in Paris
like,
and I was with my friend Antoine and I bought the horse and I named him Antoine.
Is it heavy?
No.
They're light.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are wood.
I don't know.
What do you mean wood?
Some of them are actually just sculpted wood.
Because there's no animal?
Oh, it's just the skin.
Oh.
It's just the outside.
So like instead of stuffing.
They put it over wood?
No, they actually sculpt in the body. They sculpt the body and they put the hair back, the fur back on it, the skin.
Oh, I got it. They make a sculpture out of wood and then they put back on the fur. Oh, wow.
And then what is responsible taxidermy?
Well, if you don't kill the animals in order to stuff it.
Right.
Like there
so
has
how do
to
they
be,
find their animals? Do you
well,
know?
A lot of young animals, like day-old, two-day-old, three-day-old, like horses and stuff, die from heart
they
problems.
They just die naturally.
Yeah, and then sell them to
Then you're preserving the beauty of the animal.
That's what I would like
That's
to think.
That's what you're doing.
Because I really think that when it's well done, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But then there's taxidermy, like raccoons and stuff that are really cheap that you can buy around here because they... Find a dead raccoon anywhere.
Yeah, I can only afford a taxidermy mouse, but
I have that too.
That'd be
you
kind
have a
of
taxidermy
awesome.
Mouse from Paris.
No, that was from
New
here.
York
it was
City.
A gift that somebody gave me.
Do you have a favorite?
Kevin.
Who's he?
He's a fox, and he was a little cheaper because they did his neck wrong, so his neck is a little longer, and his eyes are a little bit funky, like the eyes that
he's
they put in.
A little cross-eyed.
A little cross-eyed.
All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we will talk with Amanda about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. In the meantime, visit us at informedpregnancy.com, share us with your friends, and don't forget to check out part two of our discussion with the lovely and talented Amanda Seyfried.